The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from a couple of sources, and let's start with this from AARP, the magazine, and it's under the heading of This is 70. We'll start with Catching Up with Rhea Perlman. At 77, she is loving playing a grandmother on Netflix's Too Much and being bossed around by her real grandkids at home. In the Netflix series, You're the Grandmother, how is being a grandma in real life? We had a big wedding recently. My daughter Lucy, who has the grandson, and her fiancé got married. And we had a celebration. Perlman and husband Danny DeVito, 81, have three children. Daughters Lucy, 42, and Gracie, 40, and son Jake, 38, and two grandchildren. How's Danny as a grandpa? What does he like to be called? He's Pop-Pop. Oh, he loves them. We both spend as much time with them as they allow us to. Is being a grandmother the best part about getting older? Yeah, so far, this is the best part. Getting older is not something I love. Getting older, people say. Oh, you become wiser. I feel better now that I'm at this age. I don't get that at all. I liked being young. When did you know that acting was going to be your career? I guess the first time was when I was at Hunter College. It was a city school, and there wasn't a major acting program or anything. But I was always in plays. I always would try out for plays because I liked doing it. And then a good friend of mine went to Columbia Film School, and he said, "Look, I'm going to do some movies. You want to be in them?" I said, "Yeah." And then gradually from there, I just started thinking, this might be something I can do. Do you remember who gave you the best advice, and what was it? Someone once said to me, "Just be yourself. Be yourself." And I went, I wonder who I am. Any regrets? Oh, no, I have no regrets. Every day was perfect. Pauses to reflect. I'm sure I do, but you're asking me all the hard questions. Stop asking me hard questions. And under nostalgia, our generation, the Who. 60 years ago, in December 1965, the Who released their breakout album, My Generation, which gave those of us now in our 70s a rallying cry for our teen years. And good news, despite the title track containing the lyric, "Hope I Die Before I Get Old," both Roger Daltrey, 81, who sang it, and Pete Townsend, 80, who wrote it, are still with us. Next item, fashion. Brighten your wardrobe. While wearing black may have flattered your younger self, skin tones change as we age, says Michelle Barrett, founder of the Capsule Closet Stylist. Black can start to look harsh against the complexion. It can be time to introduce a little color into your style. Stitch Fix stylist Anne Seggi offers these tips on how to do just that. 1. Go slow. Start with one colorful piece, such as swapping out a black tee for a forest green one, or adding a pink sweater to a neutral outfit. Then add more color combinations or playful prints. 2. Accessories can be your gateway to color. Try a cherry red crossbody bag or a bold teal scarf that can be a bright focal point. Stitch Fix reports seeing a surge in the popularity of accessories. 3. Try feline-friendly prints. Leopard and other animal prints are timeless. In 2025, Stitch Fix saw a 33% increase in client requests for leopard prints. Try a leopard belt or flats in an animal print. And finally, 4. Choose new neutrals. Men and women alike can opt for rich tones, like burgundy, forest green, or camel. It breaks the drab outerwear habit and makes an outfit feel current. Now, also under This is 70, the summer after my fall. A new sense of vulnerability and the search for the grace to deal with it. This is by Chip Brown. Until I missed a step and fell last June at the end of a vacation in Venice, I'm ashamed to say I was mystified to the point of exasperation by the prevalence of falls among older people. I wasn't unsympathetic, just baffled. Who were all these geriatric klutzes, and what was the matter with them that they were toppling over like scythed wheat? My 96-year-old mother, for instance, never an exceptional athlete, she called to say she had had a fall in her apartment. An X-ray at the clinic showed a hip fracture, so she would be going to the hospital for a 40-minute surgery. 4 days later, still in the hospital, but now with pneumonia, she telephoned her kids to say she had had enough, was declining antibiotics, and removing her oxygen mask. She died that evening. Or my father, who was an athlete. In his 40s, he once won an Irish blackthorn cane for coming in second in a walking race in New York City. He was still playing golf and tennis and croquet when, 5 years before my mother, he fell. I'm not sure why or how, but before he died, he had lost even the ability to stand up. And my father-in-law, too. The injuries from a fall in 2011 culminated in his death a month later. My relatives are, or were, in good company. None of their stories would surprise gerontologists. Falling turns out to be the leading cause of injury for people over 65. 1 in 4 older Americans report they have fallen, and 1 in 10 falls lead to a serious injury. Preventing falls, detecting falls, and managing falls is a multi-billion dollar business. And the reasons we fall as we get older aren't all that esoteric. They range from vision problems and foot pain to vitamin deficiencies, general weakness, and balance issues. Uneven steps are also a common culprit. Not that I was thinking about any of this as I lay on my side, holding my right knee and cursing. I had gotten up at 12:30 a.m. to unjam a stuck bathroom door that wasn't stuck but just opened out, not in. Gotta love Italy. Having solved that non-problem, I started back to bed. I skipped flawlessly down the first 3 steps of the staircase, and then abruptly found myself sprawled on the floor with a pain knifing my right knee. I'm still not sure how it happened, and I had the whole summer and autumn while recuperating to think about it. That night, I just knew I couldn't walk, and I was as scared as I had been in years. Back in the U.S., I did not think of seeing a doctor until the obligatory male 10-day period of pretending nothing's wrong that won't fix itself passed. I finally got an appointment with an orthopedist who said, "You've torn your right quadricep tendon. You need surgery as soon as possible and a minimum of 8 weeks of physical therapy if you don't want to limp around like Captain Ahab the rest of your life." So I passed my first summer as an invalid. I no longer look askance at the abundance of geriatric klutzes. My name tops the list. It is another comeuppance, another of those rude awakenings that press home the mortal reality of life that most of us assiduously turn away from. It is humbling in so many other ways, not just the physical constraints, but the emotional vulnerability, the swallowed pride of acknowledging dependency, of needing to ask for help. Help getting something to eat. Help putting on a sock. Help not being terminally glum that I may not fully recover the mobility I had before and be able to do what I had heedlessly taken for granted. Things that once seemed like chores, bagging the garbage or walking the dog, suddenly look like privileges. It takes but one fall to bring you closer to the truth that sooner or later everything falls. Leaves, trees, lions, fathers, mothers, families, friends, all falling in falls great and small. Hemlines, empires, stars. I recently came across a Japanese proverb. Fall 7 times, rise 8. That seems a bit extreme. Why make a habit of it? As my summer as an invalid ripened into fall, I would say this instead. Fall one time and bless whatever you believe in if you can rise at all. Chip Brown, 72, is the author of two books and has written for numerous national magazines, including Outside and National Geographic, as well as the New York Times. Now I'm going to read a short financial article, and then we're going over to AARP, the Bulletin. Start 2026 on the right financial foot. If you made a money-related New Year's resolution, now's the time to put your financial house in order. Melissa Sotuda, Senior Wealth Advisor at MAI Capital Management, offers these tips. Plan for future RMDs. Recent regulatory changes allowing you to wait until age 73 to start taking required minimum distributions, RMDs, provide more time to reduce the balance in your tax-deferred accounts, potentially cutting future RMDs and the tax bills associated with them. You can do this by making some pre-RMD withdrawals now, cutting the amount you have to take out later. Then consider a conversation. Another option is to do a Roth conversation with tax-deferred retirement funds. Check with a financial advisor to determine the best approach for you. Be tax-efficient with your charitable giving. After age 70 and a half, you can reduce current and future RMDs by using your tax-deferred IRA accounts to make qualified charitable donations, QCDs. In 2025, you and your spouse could donate up to $108,000 per person directly to an eligible charity, $115,000 for 2026. You won't get a write-off for the gift, but the tax-free withdrawal counts toward your RMD for the year. And finally, rebalance your portfolio. Review your investments and make adjustments as needed to ensure your strategy aligns with your risk tolerance and your goals. Now I'm going over to AARP, the Bulletin. AARP helps you stay safe. Fraud 2026. Your guide to spotting scams. For older Americans, fraud can feel like a pervasive and inescapable threat. At AARP, we recognize that anxiety and want to help alleviate it. In these pages, we alert you to the hot scams to avoid, bring you up to date on artificial intelligence as a weapon of crooks and a tool to protect you, and tell you things to do right now to be a little safer. We'll highlight progress on an AARP co-sponsored initiative aimed at stopping elder fraud, plug you into AARP's fraud prevention resources, and give you an update on the fight to stop scams that use cryptocurrency ATMs. You'll also meet some victims of fraud in hopes that something can be learned from their experiences. Scammers make the world feel hostile, but you can take control, and we're here to help. And that message was from the editors. Now, this article is quite long, so we'll be doing it in parts. Artificial entrapment. AI scams are on the rise, and for now, detecting them can be next to impossible. Last September, Dr. David Amron watched a Facebook video of himself with growing horror. A recognized specialist in lipedema surgery, he saw and heard himself hawking a $50 miracle cream for this painful, incurable condition in which fat accumulates under the skin. But he had never made the video or endorsed the product. It was a deep fake scam cooked up by criminals using artificial intelligence, AI. And it was so convincing that some of his own patients bought the cream. The video was disturbingly realistic, says Amron, director of the Roxbury Institute in Beverly Hills, California. My reaction was disbelief, anger, and genuine concern for my patients. What unsettled me most was how authentic it appeared. Amron wasn't the only one deep faked. The video also featured Oprah Winfrey, Kelly Clarkson, and the Institute's research director. Amron thinks criminals digitally altered legit online videos of his work, then used a photo of the researcher to create realistic audio and video. This level of realism is exactly why these scams are so dangerous, he says. They are engineered to be believable, making it easy for vulnerable patients to trust them. In fact, AI-generated scams are skyrocketing, the Federal Bureau of Investigation warns. From deep fake videos on social media and cloned voices on the phone to imposter websites and phishing emails and text messages, increasingly sophisticated AI scams put older adults in the crosshairs, said a December 2025 Microsoft study of fraud data from AARP and the Better Business Bureau. At risk, your money, your personal information, and your health. We're getting deluged, said Bob Sullivan, host of AARP's The Perfect Scam podcast. A couple of years ago, you might have encountered one or two AI-generated scams a year. Now, scammer call centers are sending out tens of thousands of scam messages per minute. Nearly 9 in 10 older adults told a recent AARP poll they're worried about AI-enabled scams. And just 6% of people 50 and older said they feel very confident that they could spot AI-generated false information, according to the 2025 University of Michigan National Poll on Healthy Aging. What should you know and do to stay safe from this growing threat? We asked cybersecurity and scam experts, and their answers will surprise you. Spoiler alert. You don't have to outsmart high-tech AI to sidestep AI-enabled scams, every single expert told AARP. Instead, stick with proven strategies, pause and reflect before acting, and be skeptical of an offer that sounds too good to be true. You can't trust anymore with your eyes and ears, said Vijay Balasramayayan, CEO and co-founder of the cybersecurity company Pindrop. You have to verify. The big thing is to slow down and evaluate the situation. Why scammers love AI? You know your child's voice. You know your child's cry, said Sharon Brightwell, 69, a retired music teacher from Dover, Florida. Last June, Brightwell answered a phone call from an unfamiliar phone number and heard her 43-year-old daughter sobbing. She said, "Mom, I've had an accident. I broke my nose. The police are here." A man took over the call and identified himself as a police officer. He said Brightwell's daughter had struck the car of a pregnant woman. A $15,000 bond in cash would release her. He directed Brightwell to withdraw cash at her bank, shove it into a cardboard box, and walk out to her driveway to wait for a courier. That courier tossed the cash into the trunk of a car and drove away. "All this time, I was sick to my stomach," she said. Then the scammers called back. The pregnant woman's family wanted $30,000 more because the baby had died, he said. Brightwell sank to her kitchen floor in tears. But her 16-year-old grandson intervened. He used a locator app on his phone to see that his mother, Brightwell's daughter, was at work at a local hospital. He contacted one of his mother's friends who counseled Brightwell to stop talking to the scammers. Brightwell believes scammers used a snippet of audio of her daughter's voice from a Facebook post to create her AI-generated voice. "There's no way you could have told me that was not my daughter," she says. "That was her voice." Scammers love AI. Half of all scam emails are now generated with AI tools, says a 2025 Columbia University study. So are a shocking 82% of phishing emails aimed at getting personal identifying information or direct access to your financial accounts, according to a 2025 report from the cybersecurity company KnowBe4. Every day, Americans see an average of 2.6 deep fake videos, scams, featuring false images of celebrities, politicians, and other trusted public figures, like Amron, designed to get you to give money or buy something, says a 2025 report from the computer security company McAfee. AI doesn't sleep. It's cheap. It works 24/7. And it works well. Criminals are deploying free or low-cost AI tools like ChatGPT and Sora, the same ones the rest of us use for web searches, and to turn photos into fun videos, as well as underworld versions with names like FraudGPT, SpamGPT, and Xanthorox. AI is accelerating how scams are created and scaled, says Teresa Hudson, corporate vice president of Microsoft's Trusted Technology Group. Deep fake videos, cloned voices, and chatbots that can hold realistic conversations via text, email, or phone are a snap to produce. 8 years ago, it took 20 hours of recordings to clone someone's voice for a scam. Now, with a photo from LinkedIn and 3 seconds of your voice, a scammer can create a deep fake video with audio. In a 2025 UK study, participants could detect AI-generated images with voice clones only 51% of the time, little better than a coin toss. Older adults are even less accurate. Scammers like it so much they're replacing their employees at scammer call centers with AI systems. This research team has been eavesdropping on a West African scammer call center for years. In 2024, they stopped hearing the familiar voices of 12 call center employees. AI-generated voices had taken over. When researchers in Microsoft's AI for Good lab analyzed 531,000 fraud reports from AARP's Fraud Watch Network helpline and the Better Business Bureau's Scam Tracker, they found a disturbing trend. Scams that victims identified as AI-enabled, such as with realistic voices or videos, increased 20-fold from 2023 to 2025. The increase lines up with the arrival of AI, says Lisa Reppel, a report co-author and senior program manager for information literacy at AI for Good. And there's a small sidebar article with this part, which I will do next. Do these 9 things to feel safer now. We are all under assault from scammers, and trying to stay safe can seem like a futile effort. But there are some relatively easy things anyone can do right away to improve security, according to AARP's fraud prevention experts. Update your passwords, including for your home, Wi-Fi, and don't use your pets' or grandkids' names. Instead, try a passphrase you'll remember, but substitute a symbol for a letter, like so. IL at Velchi Cream 1960 exclamation point. Change your settings on your smartphone to send all unknown numbers to voicemail. On iPhones, go to Settings, Apps, Phone, then Silence. Android phones vary, so Google it. On social media, do a privacy checkup. Under Settings, choose Privacy and check to make sure only people you choose see your social media posts. Freeze your credit. This will prevent crooks from stealing your identity and opening new credit cards and other accounts in your name. Unfreeze it when necessary to allow a credit search. Take your Social Security card out of your wallet and put it in a safe place. Review your bank and other financial accounts right now for suspicious activity. Do this daily, weekly, or monthly, especially for bank and credit card statements. Delete apps not in use, including those with saved passwords. Go into your device and log out of all your apps to avoid unauthorized access. Add the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline 877-908-3360 to your contacts for quick access if needed. That number again was 877-908-3360. And we will continue with this article next time. Now, in the magazine, there's an article of good places to live, and we have time to look at one or two. Tucson, Arizona, warm climate, cool cost of living. Outdoorsy, laid back and a bit quirky, including a bicycle and pedestrian bridge in the shape of a rattlesnake. Tucson, Arizona combines the culture of a university town and a 4,000-year-old settlement with the beauty of the desert southwest. For a sun-soaked community, Tucson is relatively affordable. According to the Realtor.com, the median sold home price is $350,000, quite a bit lower than Phoenix at $465,000, and far lower than either San Diego or Los Angeles. Kate Kimmerly, 70, relocated here after she and her husband retired. The mortgage on our Tucson house is about half of what it was in Seattle, and we often spot road runners in the backyard. The going out guide for this Sunday day location, patio of Tohono, Chule's Garden Bistro for brunch, or weekday evening out hangout, Century Room Jazz Lounge. Where to take visitors first? The beautiful Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. Population is 541,333. Livability index score is 54. Average monthly housing cost is $1,100. Perfect weather days, 146 per year. Now, to finish out our time, we'll look at a few money-saving tips, and we're under insurance. Stack small discounts for big savings. Each insurer has a unique list of ways to nab discounts. Call your carrier to learn what's offered. Common options include discounts for people over a certain age, students with a 3.0 or 3.5 GPA or higher, certain occupations, such as police officers or firefighters, members of specific affinity groups, such as universities or professional organizations, and some safety features. Pay up front. Many carriers will offer a 5 to 15% discount on your premium if you pay for 6 to 12 months of coverage up front instead of monthly. You may also save by enrolling in automatic payments. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.